Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Captain, please. There is no please about it. Go back on board. Assure me you are going back on board.
I am in the lifeboat, under the ship. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm here.
What are you doing?
I am coordinating.
What are you coordinating there? Get on board the ship and coordinate the rescue on board. Are you refusing?
No, I'm not refusing.
Get going. There are already corpses, Scatino. Move!
How many dead are there?
I don't know. One I've heard of. You need to be telling me this.
Well, that's a metaphor for our government. Obama's in a lifeboat underneath a sinking ship, and he won't get back on the bridge because he's afraid he'll go down with the ship. Welcome to the Savage Nation. For me to wake up and believe that one man is now a dictator and the Republicans don't have the guts or the brains to impeach him is beyond me. Here's a no-brainer for you. Even someone from Harvard can understand this. I would say even an environmental studies major from Harvard can understand that oil from Canada into America by pipeline is a no-brainer. I would say even if you got a PhD in environmental studies from Harvard University, you can understand that one. Oil from Canada in a pipeline to the U.S. reduces our dependence on the Arab fascists, reduces the cost of oil, and is good for the environment. And yet one man, one dictator, Obama, has said no to the pipeline. Now, people are speculating why. You could say it's because he's tied into the corrupt solar industry. You could say he's tied into George Soros' investments in oil in South America. The fact of the matter is he does not have the authority to block such an important project. The unions are even for this. The unions are for it because it would create tens of thousands of jobs. Everyone is for it except the special interests that own Scatino in the lifeboat. So I said the point. Now, how many different topics can I raise every day on this show and have no response? Yesterday, I told you that the company that processes all of our election results has now been sold to a company in Spain tied to Goldman Sachs. Not a word in the media. Zero. Not one word. I went to the defense of the U.S. Marines. I wrote the editorial for USA Today, and apparently it was so good that they've bumped it. As I expected. It doesn't matter to me because it'll wind up in my next book. They begged me to get an invite today on time to defend the U.S. Marines who have been smeared by the vermin in the media and by the vermin in the military. I wrote it. Oh, but because of the pipeline story, we're going to bump it a few days. You know what? You're going to bump it up your you-know-what. I don't care whether you publish it or not. I have a bigger audience than you have in circulation. You need me to tell my people to go buy the paper. I don't need you. I know. What do I care? But I wrote a great editorial on it. You didn't care about that either. So you know what I'm going to do? Since you don't care about anything I have to say, I'm going to open the show up to you at 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. If you think I'm going to talk about Mitt and Newt and Ron and Rod and Hod and Schmod, I'm not doing it. You want my summary of each of them, I'll give it to you. Mitt's a weakling, a wimp, a nightmare. I watched him the other night like Mr. Schmuck. What does he think? Well, no wonder no one's excited about Mitt Romney. Mr. Schmendrick, once in a while, every third or fourth statement he makes hits home. The first two are like a nightmare. It's like listening to Jimmy Carter, a better-looking Jimmy Carter. Newt Gingrich, unbelievable. Ron Paul, one out of five makes sense. So who's left? Who's left? The one they want to win, Obama. That's all. That's who's left. John in Orlando, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, in keeping with that high seas theme, I think we need to hear that pirate music. Remember that music you used to play?
You remember the music from that I used to play? What was it? Billy Bones. You like the pirate music?
Yes.
I haven't played it in over a year. You really like to hear Little Billy Bones? All right, play it. Go ahead. Give him an entertainment. What do I care?
Bones, Bones, Billy Bones. anymore.
The song is dedicated to all the Italian seamen out there.
And wench's boat. You had your last fill, Billy Bones.
Another debate. Wait a minute. Stop the music. Am I reading right? Another debate tomorrow night on CNN by the losers called Republicans? Are they insane? Yes. No, they're not insane. They're working for the single party that runs America. Back in 94 when I started in radio, I shook everything up because I said there's a one-party system playing two-card Monty. It's called Democrats and Republicrats. To me, it's as clear as a bell to me that it's happening all over again. They've thrown the election already, like the 1919 World Series. Or was it the 1918 World Series? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They block a pipeline that makes sense to everybody. And one man does it, and the Republicans basically mumble. They mumble and shuffle off to Buffalo. New gaining on Mitt. National poll says this. Romney says that. Santorum down. Perry up. Oh, goodness. Russia warns strike on Iran would be catastrophic. We're still reliving the Cold War now. It's Russia again. How many different things can Captain Obama mess up as the ship goes down? He's sitting in the lifeboat underneath the ship on the side, directing with a megaphone. The ship is tilted over and taking on water. What do you think about the captain, the Italian captain? What am I going to ask you? Did the right thing? Whoa, that's really bad for the Italian people. It's a very bad thing for the Italian male image. Captain Scatino. I mean, he would make a good new puppet figure. If I were a puppeteer, I would create a new puppet called Captain Scatino. And it would show him I don't know what I would. I'm not a puppet. But the new Captain Scatino doll would sell like crazy. I'll bet you this could become a big tourist item in Italy. The Captain Scatino bobblehead. How about when they put those voice chips into dolls these days? They could have Captain Scatino. Hey, play the first one of the captain refusing to go. I want to hear the first one. It's in translation.
Get back in the ship.
I want the bobblehead.
Tell me how many people there are and what they have on board. Clear? Tell me if there are children, women, and what kind of help they need.
I'm going.
The number of each of these categories. Is that clear?
What do you mean?
Look, Scatino, perhaps you have saved yourself from the sea, but I will make you look very bad. I will make you pay for this. Damn it!
Scatino! Find Scatino! Where is Scatino?
Oh, Lord. Okay, make it open mic to Mike today. I have had enough with all of this. Why is Jimmy Carter still talking? Why is he allowed to even talk? The man who wrecked America the first time is out on the... How does he do this? He's interviewed by the slimy limey, Piers Morgan, whose show I refuse to go on. I'd rather go to a dog pound and talk to a rescue dog than talk to Piers Morgan. And he brings up the Bible, the slimy limey. You know, the right one to ask the right one about a Bible. Listen to the 27. Listen to this.
As a very religious man yourself, a lot of them say, look, we're very religious people, it's all in the Bible. What do you feel?
How do you feel?
That they are going to extremes just to try to get votes. And I don't think Rick Perry's been that extreme as a governor, but he's trying
shut
to be
up.
More extreme.
You Jew hater, you anti-Semite, you crazy snakey to you. Look who's asking about the Bible and religion. The slimy lump.
How do you feel about the Bible? As a religious man yourself, very religious man.
He's about as religious as my dog is religious. Look who's talking about trying to gain votes, constantly appealing to the welfare class. Knoxville, Tennessee. Patrick, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate you. You know, when I first started listening to you, I didn't really like you, but now I'm in love with you.
Well, what didn't you like? What's there not to like about my abrupt, abrasive ways?
Well, that's it. I just thought you were a fool of yourself, you know. But the more I listen to you, the more I can't listen to anybody else, hardly.
Let me put it to you this way. Patrick, you're a Southern man. You're raised to be tough and polite. And so when you hear an abrasive man, you assume he's full of crap. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then eventually when you start to listen, you realize that in a world filled with shills, sometimes you have to be abrasive to be heard. That's what you came to understand.
I love you. I can't wait for you. I wish you were on more, you know.
But really,
Patrick, if you had to be stuck in a foxhole with any talk show host in America, would it be me? Of course it would be.
Yeah, or maybe the leprechaun.
You'd like to be in a foxhole with the leprechaun. That's interesting. Well, he's very tall. I could see why you'd want him in a foxhole, because it'd be impossible to be in Knoxville, Tennessee, correct?
Yes, sir. I called yesterday. I was one of the Vietnam vets that...
Well, you should love me. I'm the only one in the radio who's gone to bat for the Marines. The others are afraid to, because it's a no-win for them. They wrap themselves in the flag except when it, runs some risk for them.
Yeah, I don't want to...
Thanks for the call. I'm glad you listened. I really am. Love Savage tonight. Does anyone love me tonight? I'm not in a good mood. I don't feel good. I had a bad night. What do you think? I don't have a bad night? I had a very bad night. I don't even know why. The night before, I had a good night. Last night, I had a bad night. Either I ate too much. I ate too much. I only had a beer. I didn't have wine. I had a beer and a half. I still woke up feeling awful. I ate too much is what it is. You know what it is? I'm eating too much at night. I shouldn't even eat at all. And I get mad at myself. Like, why wasn't I out taking up Tai Chi? You know, why wasn't I studying a South Korean martial art, running in ice water? Did you see that video last week of the South Korean troops? I never saw anything like it. They make our toughest guys look like CNN hosts. They were all, they had their shirts off running these boys through ice water. Go, ha, ha, ha. Did you see those ROK troops? I heard years ago from military guys that the ROK troops are the toughest in the world. They got these young Korean guys rolling in ice, smearing themselves with snow. And if any of them shows any wimpiness, believe me, they don't say, oh, please don't bully him. Please, let's get Hillary Clinton on the case. He's being bullied. Let's get some sensitivity training in our military. That's why they still have our military, you schmucks, you. Okay, I'm taking a break. I'll be back.
Savage.
Captain, please.
There is no please about it. Go back on board. Assure me you are going back on board.
I am in the lifeboat, under the ship. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm here.
What are you doing?
I am coordinating.
I'm analyzing the marinara sauce.
Get on board the ship and coordinate the rescue on board.
What are you talking about? The ship is on its side. It's taking a siesta. The ship's going to right itself any minute. I'm in a lifeboat. I'm testing the marinara sauce. When the ship gets through with its siesta, it rights itself. The people are going to need to eat. What's wrong with you people in the Coast Guard?
Oh, my goodness. This is going to screw up the cruise industry for sure. All of the people who are going to go cruising with their rented tuxedos, and now suddenly they're afraid because, you know, they see a monster ship like this on its side, and there's no industry disaster equivalent to this, I think, since the Titanic. Sure, ships have been damaged since then, but the visual of a large megaship rolled over like a beached whale, with people having to jump in the water, with Captain Scatino tasting the marinara sauce in a lifeboat, being yelled at by the Coast Guard is amazing to me. 1-800-449-8255. Florida, Tom, you're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, Michael. I'm listening to you tonight. It's the greatest show. It's so wonderful to hear you. You know, Michael, listening to you is like watching color TV. All the rest of them are like watching black and white TV.
There, you made my day. I wasn't in a good mood till you said that.
Hey, Michael, I'm in Citrus County, Florida. There's a big, big Savage Nation group up here. I hope you can come up here, come to Florida.
Where is Citrus County, Florida? Where exactly? Like, what coffee machine city is it near?
It's Crystal River, Inverness. It's about 80 miles north of Tampa. We love Michael Savage here. It's amazing.
Oh, Tampa. I have a very big presence in Tampa.
Tampa. Yeah,
you still have a?
Tampa.
Don't you have a, still have a sponge diving industry in St. Petersburg?
Well, that's south of me. There's the manatees. This is rural country up here, but we love Michael Savage. And, Michael, it's so great to hear, be able to talk.
Well, you're the real Floridians. I mean, I have a house in Florida. I'm not a Floridian. Florida, south of where you live, is filled with people from Jersey and New York.
Hey,
it's all filled with people from... There's nothing wrong with them. They're nice people. But, I mean, fundamentally, they're not Floridians. They bring their Queens, Brooklyn, a Newark mentality to Florida. You ever go into a restaurant for an early bird in South Florida? I would say I could give you a city south, but you can get killed as they're stealing the sweet and low, as they're stuffing rolls into their overalls. It's unbelievable to watch them at an early bird buffet line. I knew a Chinese restaurant down there, an all-you-can-eat takeout. Poor Chinese came over, they didn't even know the area. Little did they know what they're getting into. The previous owners were Chinese or went bankrupt. They didn't tell it to them. They told these poor immigrants, oh, yeah, open up here. It's filled with Jewish people who love Chinese food. The guy lasted 3 months because it was an all-you-can-eat buffet. Need I say any more? It was a fantastic buffet. I never saw anything like this. They had no idea what they were getting themselves into. You know, all you can eat for $8.95. These people would sit there from noon until the early bird dinner sign went up. And they'd eat, and they'd eat, and they'd eat. How many wings they were able to stuff into their pockets, I don't know. It's astounding to me, but he's long gone. Now another Chinese guy opens up there. This one, though, he's smarter. He went the other way. He didn't open up an all-you-can-eat buffet. He opened up an upscale Chinese thing off Federal Highway that's very expensive, so he's going to go broke. Little does he know that market's not made for upscale Chinese off a highway. There's no Asian food in South Florida at all that I couldn't find any. You can, but I couldn't wait to get back to San Francisco. The one thing they have here culturally that is an advantage to the rest of America is the Chinese food. But that you can only take in small doses. But this Italian thing has got me fascinated. You know, it goes back to a joke. Who was the comedian? It must have been, who's that comedian that I like a lot? But I forget. He told a joke. Jackie Mason told a joke years ago. He said, individually, Italians could knock your head off. As an army, they're horrible. Remember that? He's talking about as an army? Terrible. The Italian military doesn't exist. They're disorganized. They don't listen to orders. The worst army on earth, he says, the Italian army. He says, but the individual Italian can knock your head off with one punch. But this captain now defies the Jackie Mason joke. He is like the Italian military. The guy is hiding now in a lifeboat? Where did this guy get his captain's license from? It must have come along with the, we can make a million jokes about it. Let's start with that. Where did Captain Scatino get his captain's license from?
Savage.
Question for the Savage audience. Where did the Italian ship captain, Scatino, get his captain's license from? Answer, the same place that printed Obama's birth certificate. It's unbelievable to me. He tripped into the lifeboat? That's like Obama fell into the presidency. But what power he has now. This is unbelievable, and a man has the audacity. I have another word for it other than audacity, but it's a family show. This guy has some audacity, let me tell you. That's what they call it today, audacity. Says he tripped into the lifeboat. He was organizing the rescue from the lifeboat. He tripped on the tilting vessel and ended up in one of the boats. You remember here in the old days, it used to be women and children first. Not according to Captain Scatino. Years ago, remember I did Squingili and anger management. Who remembers my piece on Squingili? John, was it John Squingili? I'll do that later. We'll do Squingili and anger management for those of you who are new listeners to the greatest show in America. I will play that for you later. Las Vegas. Where's Las Vegas with the oil? Peter, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mr. Savage. Hey, it's not a good week for Italians, right? They're not going to ever trust us with boats again.
Well, I'm not Italian, but the truth is I don't know any Italian sea captains to begin with.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, the truth is, they said he was having dinner with his female companion at the time the ship hit the rock.
Well, that's what he means by he tripped into the lifeboat. The guy was tripping with his girlfriend.
Well, it could have been worse. He could have been in his cabin with her, rocking her boat, which could have...
Yeah, well, that fits the picture. Right, and he leapt off his balcony into the lifeboat. How convenient.
Hey, listen, Canada.
Yes.
You know, sometimes people who want to build things get a little too excited that they do create a lot of jobs. Science and technology are catching up with us real quick. We're getting to the point where we can make our own oil.
Well, the Germans made their own oil in World War II. There was synthetic oil, but that's not the point. Here you have oil in Canada could be transshipped right on a pipeline into America, and Obama blocks it while supporting George Soros' oil investments in Brazil? What sense does that make?
Well, listen, we've got to wait a few years. They can find an environmentally clean way to separate the oil out of the sands up there in Canada, but we've got to give them more time.
Well, first of all, the fracking that you're talking about is being done right now in North Dakota, whose economy is booming. Oklahoma's economy is booming. Shale oil, conversions from natural gas, of course it's all going on. But as I want to remind you and everyone else, synthetic oil was used by the Germans in World War II. They were ahead of everybody by 50 years. 1-800-449-8255, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Adam, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to say it's, again, an honor to be on your show, but I received a Christmas gift from my lovely wife, Alicia, Beauty Power. And
wow.
I just started it a few days ago. Now, I'm a cable technician, so I'm constantly in my vehicle. I always listen to you. And since I started your book, I'm only about three chapters in, but I've been finding myself playing hooky almost in between my jobs. I'm almost pulling
over. It's very hard to put down Abuse of Power. It's a great book. It should have been more widely received, but given the fact that I have only this show to talk about it, it's a miracle it was 6 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. But the book is a classic. It's better than Jack London's books. I stand by that. My descriptions of San Francisco Bay, life on the bay, life on a boat, is better than anything Jack London ever wrote. I don't need anybody to say yes or no. I know it's true.
Your descriptions, it just, like, when you wrote the part when Drabinski put on the demon and then the, well, I don't want to give away too much, but the Range Rover detonated, that just, I had goosebumps. I was part
by. Wait till you see the other scenes. It gets better and better and better. Okay, hey, thank you for listening to the Savage Nation up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It means a lot to me. Look at this. No pipeline. Look at this. All you can eat used to have bouncers. Oh, that's funny. Let me read you what people are calling. Here's the calls that are coming in. All you can eat used to have bouncers. No pipeline because China in charge. What is Savage's favorite memoir? Republicans doing nothing. Italians live entitled lives. Obama following Brookshire on the pipeline. Texas, Aaron says he works on a pipeline. Take a guess which call I'm going to take. Well, here it is. Tucson, Don, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Nice to talk to you, Dr. Savage.
Yes, sir.
Back in the 60s when we were all in the service in El Paso, there were a lot of Army people there. We used to go to a restaurant that was an all-you-can-eat.
Right.
We had a man that looks like William Shatner's buddy on the TV. And he came up to you and said, that's all you can eat.
So it's all you can eat that I say you can eat.
That's it.
Well, no, people do take advantage of it. I joke about it here in the area I live in. There's an Indian buffet, which I go to frequently. But they don't understand there are different cultures that have arrived in America. And some of them don't respect the fact that the man running the restaurant has to actually make a living. So when it says all you can eat, they actually take it literally, and they keep eating and eating and eating until it looks like they actually killed an animal on the plate. The bones pile up. They keep piling up. They have local gardeners, poor guys, hungry, cold. They eat and eat. You hear the bones clinking, the lamb bones, clink, clink, clink. How does a poor Indian guy make a living? I don't know how they make a living on an all you can eat. They should say limited to three portions or something like that. Or you must buy a glass of soda. They don't even buy a soda. And no tip. No tip. No tip whatsoever. I overtip, but yesterday I left no tip in a Chinese restaurant. It's not really a Chinese restaurant. It's a chain called P.F. Chang's, which you call ersatz Chinese food. But out of desperation and default, I go to it because I'm not in San Francisco all the time. So they have waiters, many of whom are very nice, some of whom are a little, as they say, delicate. You know, the kind of delicate waiter that is sure he's a famous artist or dancer and doesn't really want to be in there. I'm waiting 20 minutes, still no lunch, and I'm in a rush to get back to the internet. I'm sitting like a nice guy, don't say a word. So finally I say, hey, buddy, I'm here 20 minutes, I need my lunch. He says, it'll be along in a moment. I said, I don't have a moment. So he brings the food out ice cold. It was sitting in the back. Then he goes to a table next to me. Two people just arrive, and he starts catering to them. This always happens, by the way. After they disrespect one, they become obsequious to the next table to show how nice they are. And he's kowtowing, and I say, buddy, excuse me, you brought me no sauce. He says, I'll be right with you. I'm with customers. I raised my voice. I yelled out in the restaurant. I said, you out of your damn mind? I said, you gave me food that's cold, and I want the hot sauce. So he says to the people, please excuse me, you hear? He hadn't taken their order yet. 10 minutes, 3 minutes later, he comes back with the hot sauce. I'm finished, and I go. I left him no tip. I never do that. I'm a big tipper. I don't understand these places, but they can't find workers today. They're all like Captain Schettino. You know what I'm saying? They're all entitled to something better than their lot in life. They all think that they're entitled to something other than what they're doing. Hey, look, if you take a job, do the best you can at that job. I've cleaned tables. I've swept floors. I've been an assistant lifeguard. I've been a busboy. And every job I ever had, I did very well because I had no choice. They would have thrown me out of the job, and I needed the job. But today there's an entitlement, and I'm going to sue, and you didn't give me this, and I'll go to Governor Brown, and you didn't pay me overtime when I was in the toilet for 13 hours, you know, that kind of thing. That's why I do takeout under an assumed name. Just get food under an assumed name. I don't even tell them my name anymore. I'm afraid they're going to poison the food in half these restaurants. I tell them, my name is Barack Smith. That way they, you know, who's the order for? Barack Smith. I just ordered because Barack, you know, they're afraid. So Barack Smith is ordering. Nebraska, Janice, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. How you doing? Listen, I wanted to tell you that I can't believe I'm saying this, but this screw up here with the Trans-Canada Keystone Pipeline was not Obama's fault. We have to lay this at the feet of Boehner.
Boehner? Boehner wants the pipeline. Why would you blame Boehner?
Boehner forced his hand. Obama asked for a one-year extension so that Nebraska, which just passed a new legislative bill so that we had the rights that the other states had to determine where that pipeline went across our state. We have to do a new environmental study. Keystone has to sign off on it.
No, come on. Look, I disagree with you, Janice, because you and I both know this has been in the works for 3 years. And the fact of the matter is these environmental concerns are a red herring. Environmental concerns are a red herring because there are no environmental concerns. This is an above-ground pipe that causes no environmental damage whatsoever. It's a no-brainer. And the fact of the matter is Obama killed it because he's in bed with George Soros and the oil deal down in Brazil, number one. Most pointedly, though, Obama is trying to kill any domestic oil or any oil that can be delivered easily in for one reason, and that reason is to make sure that his cronies in the corrupt solar industry make certain that his cronies in the corrupt solar industry make billions of dollars. Why am I excited about this? What does it have to do with me? I have nothing going one way or the other. I don't make a dime on the oil pipeline. Obama says the GOP forced the decision to deny permit for controversial Keystone XL oil pipeline. Yeah, right. So he's blaming them now. Sure, that's typical Obama. Everybody but me. How the Republicans can't defeat him 80-20 is beyond me. But look who they picked here. Look what they got. Look what they got. Mr. Milquetoast. Look at Mr. Milquetoast we're going to have to get behind. And we're going to have to get behind Milquetoast. As much as we have to swallow it, we're going to have to get behind him. Play the some Italian music for me because I got a group slams Gingrich's policy on hiring Muslims. Let's see about that one. Is that good or bad? Limiting hires to Muslims who renounce Sharia law. Oh, good for him. Wow. The hate group, the Council of American Islamic Relations, the well-known hate group, in my opinion, attacked Gingrich because Gingrich said he would only hire Muslims to his administration if he renounced the use of Islam Sharia law as a tool for U.S. government. Good for Newt. He has the guts to take on this hate group? Amazing. That is amazing. That is amazing that Gingrich has the nerve to take on this hate group because they basically own the Justice Department, according to what I've read. Boca Raton, the flower, the rat's a mouth. Stephen, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, when can I take you out to dinner here? My Italian wife and I want to take you out.
Okay, name a good Italian restaurant in Boca.
Well, there is one that the locals know, but I'm not going to tell you over the air because then everyone else in the Boca is going to find out.
Right, then it's going to get flooded. Exactly. So it's one of those strip mall restaurants run by people from Brooklyn or Jersey, and it's good, right?
Oh, it's the bolognese is incredible. My wife is Italian.
Yeah, right. But you go to these big chain Italian restaurants, and I don't mean the commercial ones, like even any big one. If you go to the Meisner Plaza, to the they're not real Italian restaurants. They're formula restaurants.
Meisner's horrible. You know that as well as I.
I know Meisner's Plaza. I call it Meisner's Plaza.
I used to live in San Francisco, so I just moved from Santa Barbara. My Italian father-in-law died. I had to go live in Italy, Michael.
Oh my! Oh, so you're a real old timer in that regard. You're really connected into the whole thing.
Now, you ready for this?
Yes.
My mother's British. My mother's British. Survived the Nazis. My uncle died fighting the Nazis, and my other uncle had three ships sunk by U-boats under the Nazis.
Wow.
My wife.
I would buy you dinner for what you've been through psychically.
No, but I've got a special tonight. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, my wife's got three cardinals in the family, right? So you come, have dinner with me in Boca, and I'll take you right into St. Peter's, and we'll go down and see his tomb.
What are you talking about? You mean three cardinals in her ancestry?
Yes.
She's from Italian nobility?
Yes.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, no, I respect the fact that there's good lineage in human beings. I think it makes a difference. You mean they're buried in the Vatican?
Yes, we've got I got an uncle in the Vatican right now. Well, her uncle is in the Vatican. Yeah, he could take us right into the, an audience with the Pope, and if you want to go see St. Peter's tomb.
Do I get to see the Pope? I'd go to Italy for that. I really do want to meet the Pope.
Okay, so we go out, we have my wife, you can meet my wife.
No, but wait, are you serious? You could get in to see the Pope and bring me in there? I'm not even allowed on Fox News. How can I see the Pope?
Well, I'll put a nice disguise on you. Don't worry about that.
I'm not allowed in England. Am I allowed in Italy anymore after criticizing Captain Scatino?
Well, they kicked my mother out of England, so I don't think she can help you.
How are they going to relate to the Scatino story? I mean, they're going to be embarrassed by him and make jokes about it. Typically Italian, they're going to laugh at him.
Now, you're going to love this. First of all, do you know what the Sardinian flag is?
How would I know?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Stop it. Oh, that's so evil. You can't say it. Not all Muslims are terrorists. You know that.
No, but you know that the Muslims used to always invade Sardinia.
Are you serious? That is the flag?
That is the flag. People say,
I thought you were just trying to be a jokester. They have Muslims in Sardinia?
That's the Sardinian flag.
The old invasion by the pirates, the Muslim pirates back in the day, when men used to be able to cut their heads off.
Right, but see, Michael, what's happened is that when I lived in Italy, right, you know everything closes down at 1 o'clock, right?
Yeah, so the siesta.
It's 1 o'clock. So from 1 o'clock to 5, it's like I'm on the Omega Man. I'm, like, walking around saying, hey, I can't even buy cigarettes, okay? So it's like, and I quit smoking. But, I mean, I have a great restaurant for you. I'm not going to sit over in the air. If you want to
go. No, I understand. So I tell you what, you give it to my producer.
Okay.
Give it to my producer. Give me your email. I doubt very much I'll be down there in the near future because of a couple of reasons, but that's a nice call. When I come back on the Savage Nation, we'll continue to talk about none of the news of the day, none of the debates of the day, none of the people running for the presidency, and not about Obama. I'll be right back.
Savage.
What Obama does, it doesn't matter what outrage he commits, because nothing will happen. He can eliminate civil rights. He would say the Republicans forced him to do it. Eliminate the pipeline. The Republicans forced him to do it. Sell the voting rights machines to the ability to analyze the votes in America to a company in Spain. The Republicans forced him to do it. It doesn't matter what he does, because he owns the press. You have to understand that. Number one, 99% of the people in the media are brainwashed and absolutely in sync with the government on virtually every topic. So when he wants them to perform, they jump like trained dogs, as they're doing now. Whatever the topic may be, you can see it led by, first by the NBC affiliate MSNBC, because they exist for one reason only. The only reason they exist is to act as puppets for Jeffrey Immelt, in my opinion, to make certain that nobody ever says GE should pay its fair share of taxes, since they pay none. And their job is to make sure that everyone else is blamed for the broken economy, except General Electric, Microsoft, because remember, MSNBC means Microsoft, NBC, both of which do not pay their fair share of taxes, according to people who've studied it, who aren't even conservatives. Everybody knows this. I would say that if GE and Microsoft were forced to pay their fair share of taxes, we'd be a long way towards a more sound economy. See, I did a political thing. Well, welcome back to Mr. Happiness here on the Savage Nation. Let's go to New York. Jimmy, W-O-R, go ahead, please. You're on the program.
The Italian captain got his license from the Obama Leadership Academy. He's leading from behind.
Well, you know what? I don't agree with that. Obama's actually leading us over the abyss.
That's true, too. That's true. You're right. I was just trying to be funny. I guess I shouldn't do that. The New York Post...
No, not in your case. You're not a funny guy. Leave the jokes to me. You're like the serious anti-communist. That's what we count on Jimmy from New York for.
Well, I have something there for you, too.
Of course you do. All I got to do is say communist. You're like a guy who used to be in radio. If you set a fly is on the wall, he'd talk about engines in a bomber he once flew.
Well, I was proven right. History has proven
you
right.
You are. You are way ahead of the curve. You know he's a diehard Marxist, and so are the people around him, which is why he has czars. He didn't choose the name advisors. He said they're czars.
I call it Obamianism.
Very good. Who will that be stolen by first, Rush or Wallbanger?
I've heard somebody else using it, but I've been doing it since he campaigned for president.
There you go. There you go. So what are you calling about today? Time is short, and the listener's attention span is even shorter.
There's an admitted Marxist named Jim Wallace, W-A-L.
Oh, please. Come on. There's a Marxist in my soup. All right. Jimmy, I love you, but not tonight. I had enough with Marxist. You come to the area I live in, you have to identify the people who are not Marxists. The Prius drivers, they may as well have pictures of Karl Marx on their bumper. They're the ones who ride around and they... I love when I pass them in a fast car, they put the lights on. I love the flashing lights. All of these little fascists, they're mini cops all of a sudden. They don't like that I go faster than them.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We're talking about everything in the world except politics on the Savage Nation. I mean, maybe I'll do politics, maybe I won't. I mean, we know what's going on, and everyone reads the internet, and they watch the news at night, so I try to give you a little something different, and then I do politics when I have to. Here's a story just caught my eye. Pagan mom challenges Bibles in North Carolina school. A pagan mom's challenge to the distribution of donated Bibles has prompted the County Board of Ed to reevaluate its policies regarding religious texts. You see, this lard, this woman has enough lard in that dress by this picture of her to write that tilted Italian cruise ship. This thing, this creature who practices Wicca, says she was up at school with a Bible. The Gideons International had delivered several boxes of the sacred books to the school office, and they allowed interested students to stop by. So the boy comes by, takes a Bible home. So this lard, this load of lard says that they refuse to distribute books on Wicca in the school, and therefore she's going to sue them. Now, you say, unto itself, so what's new about... This explains why there is paralysis in Washington. It's because everyone's afraid of lard heads like this, and that is why a man like Obama can get elected. Everyone thinks that if you're different, it means you're better. Everyone thinks that if you're not traditional, it means that you're superior. Everyone assumes that if you're not a Christian... or if you're something wild, you are better and you're freer. They've got everything upside down. And, of course, the school district said that the religious diversity has worked beautifully in the United States of America. And he said that our country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, not on Wiccan principles. And then he said our children have access to more non-Christian print material in the libraries and online than they really do Christian stuff. So that's what's going on now in the most severely Christian places on earth, the most disgusting, despicable, distorted people who say they practice Wicca, or they've been bullied. They're going specifically to target these places because they know they have a friend in Eric Holder. I've got to be careful because I'm liable to get a Wicca protest going against the Savage Nation, and then all of the ads for broomsticks will be eliminated on my show. All of the broomstick manufacturers will be boycotted by the Wiccans, who will refuse to buy broomsticks if they continue to advertise on my program. That's how radio works, where everyone's afraid to say a word about anything. Don't even call me on this. It's just a story out of nowhere. It's so self-contained, this story. All you have to do is take a look at the pagan mom. I love the word mom. Mom. Everything's a mom today. A dog with a litter of 8 puppies is a mom now to those who are running. New York, WOR. Jonathan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, genius, Dr. Michael, Professor, Prophet Savage.
please don't make me feel good. I don't want to feel good today.
Listen, I know you're a good friend of Moses and Aaron, and you're high priest in disguise, genius, but I want to thank you very much for helping my girlfriend become born again. She was a lover of Obama and praised Obama, and all her liberal friends got together and realized this guy is a traitor, and I bought her a dartboard of Obama for the holidays, and she said that's the greatest gift, and she can't stop throwing darts at Obama now.
So she, well, watch out, the Secret Service may be listening. It may be illegal to do that. So she's a born-again what now?
She is a born-again believer first in the great high priest, Dr. Savage.
Oh, and she's a born-again American, in other words. For a while, she had left the fold. She became a diehard Marxist walking around thinking that that was about progressive politics. So wow. She's a born-again American. That's beautiful. Now, are you married to her or what? Are you living in sin?
No, we're not married. We're living in sin, and we're hopefully going to be getting married soon, thanks to you. Because
are you the Jewish guy with the non-Jew? What is this? Is this the same? What is your religion? What is your religion?
My religion. I'm an old Irish Druid.
You're a Druid, okay? And she is a what?
Well, right now, she's a born-again believer first in you. She's a follower of you right now. I think she's just trying to find herself.
Oh, so she's looking for a strong man, like a leader. A Druid isn't strong enough for her? She needs a talk show host?
Well, thanks to you, Dr. Savage, she was really lost in this world. And then when I finally got her, I finally got her.
Well, I'm like the voice of her father, who she probably never met, right? I mean, she was a single mom child, or the father was not around, or what?
No, the father died. He was an Air Force colonel, died in...
So she came from a strong father, but she doesn't really know him.
Yes, that's right.
So I'm like the imaginary Air Force father.
That's right. You're a full bird colonel flying jets.
I don't know about the bird, but I'm definitely a full. I'm full of myself, that's for sure. So how does that affect you if she has an imaginary strong father on the radio? Doesn't that threaten you?
Yes, it actually does now, because I liked her a lot better when she was a liberal.
That's right, because you had something to work against, and she was weak-minded.
Weak-minded. I had the best life with her going, and then when she started waking up to reality and realizing that Obama is not the man who she voted for, she had to humble herself and get rid of her pride and ego and pick another candidate, and now she's a Ron Paul fan.
Okay, well, we'll let that go for the moment. But as a Druid yourself... You come from what, a pagan background in your own mind, of like people who painted themselves in paint and fought the British?
Yeah, I come from an old traditional Irish family that...
Why are Irish such phenomenal fighters and warriors? I've often thought about different races, and some of them are warlike and capable of making war like you can't believe. I don't know why the Irish are so tough. Why is that?
The reason why the Irish are so tough, just like with the Jewish folks, they've been persecuted till kingdom come. And it's the people who get persecuted most have the most strength and energy inside of them. So the Jewish people...
You mean the old saying, that which does not kill you makes you stronger kind of thing?
Yes, sir. And the Irish people are the 13th tribe of Israel, of Jacob. They are the lost tribe, the Irish race.
Is that where Gaelic comes from?
Well, Gaelic, yes, sir. Gaelic and Hebrew, they almost mingle together. I used to hang out at the Aran Islands and off the west coast of Ireland and listen to the people speak. And they have a similarity, and I'm convinced that the people of Ireland, since they're a very separate nation and island, and it's gorgeous over there, and I suggest you get over there instead of England. You'll be welcome.
Well, I still want to bring about 1,000 to 3,000 loyal fans of the Savage Nation to the Republic of Ireland and jeer the British. I'd like to go to the border and jeer the British with 3,000 roaring fans with the international press behind, and I will get back to my pinball, the most important. Did I tell you that I now have a pinball machine in my studio? I decided to have entertainment during the show. My dog is getting, he sleeps during the show now. He's getting older. He just had a big meal. I gave him some French fries. It's not good for him. I know that, but he loves them. I had a calamari sandwich with fries from a local Italian restaurant. I figured, what the heck, I'll live a day less. The dog loves the fries because they're not deep-fried greasy. They're the big, thick, and I can't resist them. There's certain foods I cannot resist. They're so satisfying, it's beyond belief. The dog loves the fries. He's sleeping now like a truck driver who's moonlighting too much. He just won't get up. He lets me walk out of the room without running after me. He's not spunky anymore. It's from the bad diet I put him on. So I had to get a pinball machine. I got the Sopranos machine. I love it. It's a very fast game, by the way. You know, there's a trick to pinball, which I wish I had known as a child. The trick is to keep your fingers on the flippers at all times and open the flippers up so they're up. So when the ball comes rolling down, you have a bigger, you don't need a bigger area to, like, flip with as if they're already out. It's an interesting trick. I think if the Republicans all got a pinball machine in their offices, they might be a little quicker on the ball. Because right now, there's like, where are they? What are they doing? Obama bans the pipeline, and they say, oh, you shouldn't have banned the pipeline. Here comes Boehner. He just had a double cigarette, and they put the tie on him. They dusted him up with some, and he comes out, and he gives a speech, another limpy speech on the Keystone Pipeline. It sounds like the Keystone Cops. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So Obama, who's counted on the Hollywood slime, who gave him $56 million as of September 11, 357 of the top slime in Hollywood, directed $56 million for Obama's reelection efforts. And now they're saying no more because he won't back them on the piracy stand. Not a dime anymore. So they found out that he screwed them too. Can you believe this? He screwed everybody. When are they going to wake up to who this guy is? It's unbelievable to me. So they give him $56 million, and I say, not a dime more. That's the last you're going to get. Yeah, right. Right, that's the last. No, they're going to support Romney, because the day they support anyone who actually reads a Bible is the day that I'll leave radio. That's why, you know, I'm going to be on the radio a long time. 1-800-449-8255. When I come back. Now, I just came on the air. Every minute, another stop set. You could have a nervous breakdown from it. I don't have a time to develop an idea anymore. I'm trying to develop an idea. But everybody wants to advertise on the show, so there's no room for me anymore. That's a good thing, by the way. That's because my voice is made for radio. I don't sound like Groucho Marx's grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia, which they have on the other stations now, the fraud put in power by Wallbanger. Wallbanger, the high school dropout who hates me, along with Leprechaun. Moloch's minions hate Michael Savage. Did you know Moloch's minions hate Michael Savage? They hate me. Moloch's minions hate Savage. So how can they be conservatives if they hate me? I could see them being competitive with me. But there's a boycott inside Moloch's manor by Moloch's minions, particularly the leprechaun. The 6'6" leprechaun has it in for me. Wallbanger is said to hate me because he's jealous of me. Wallbanger, as you well know, is the most insecure man in the history of Lou Costello. What's with the hairdo? When he was young, he had a face for television, Wallbanger. But now, as he's getting older and his hair is thinning, he's starting to part it in the middle. He bears a striking resemblance to, you know, remember Abbott Costello, the fat one, who used to say, hey, Abbott, he looks like Lou Costello with that hairdo. Can't someone tell Wallbanger he's too like long and tooth for this pretty boy look anymore, to stop with the center part? To either get a rug on his head or just shave it off altogether. Go bald, but stop with the Lou Costello look. It's not doing him very good. It's like the portrait of Dorian Gray. I mean, Wallbanger is starting to have the portrait of Dorian Gray with a real Hey Abbott starting to come out. Sacramento Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation. I don't even think people know who I'm talking about.
How you doing, Michael?
Do you know who I mean when I say Wallbanger?
Yes.
Who's Wallbanger?
Harry Wallbanger, or Harvey.
No, no.
I don't.
All right, so what's on your mind today?
I was calling about the comment with your waiter. I was a waiter in my late teens and early 20s, and I was trained by a career waiter, someone who had been doing it for about 35 years. And he said, listen, when you go out there and you greet the people and take their order, and then you come back and bring it to them, and then you come back a few minutes later to make sure everything is correct, and then you go out there and bring them the bill and clear their plates.
Well, those days are over today. What you have are entitlement cases who feel that they should, be running a website or working for Obama rather than serving food to the masses. They don't want the job. The age of the professional waiter is long over. There are a few here and there. Portland, Oregon, Ann, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
I'm on the same topic. I wanted to thank you for not tipping that waiter. He delivered your food. You did not receive service.
No, I didn't. The food was cold. It took too long. He wouldn't, blah, blah, blah. And I tip all the time, but they assume you're going to give him 15% anyway. I gave him nothing.
And they shouldn't expect that. And I don't.
Well, but it's in an ersatz Chinese, chain joint called P.F. Chang's. What do you expect? What are they going to hire? Someone who really knows food? You want Chinese food, you go to Chinatown. That's where you get real food. I mean, you really want a good piece of cat. There's no way. You got to go to Chinatown for that. If you really want a good, nice piece of cat disguised as chicken, there's no better place. 1-800-449-8. That was a rumor. Remember, that went around for a long time. The people, they saw a cat in the refrigerator. But what can you eat today that's pure anymore? You can eat a shrimp. Where'd the shrimp come from? The majority of it comes from polluted waters in Asia. So you're already putting your life in your hands. Calamari, I have the best calamari in the world. I can't get it. They export it to Asia. And I get the sewer calamari from Korea. Here in Monterey, California, I used to get the cleanest, best calamari in the world. Right off the coast, the calamari. Now they freeze it up and send it to Asia. They get the best. And I get the leftovers from Korea, the sewer calamari, along with the sewer shrimp. So the answer is don't eat the shellfish. You're right. What can you do? What can you do? Certain habits die very hard. It's like French fries. I have to eat them. Pinball, I still like it. Fast cars, I still love it. Beer, I still crave it. Diet soda, I still drink it. What can I do? I was raised a certain way. And all of the health food guys who ran around the reservoir are dead. No, I'm not laughing. God rest. And there was a spate of deaths from runners back here where I live in the 30 years ago. They started to drop dead in their 30s. Thin, lean. They looked at the watch every minute, ran over the Golden Gate Bridge. They looked like Somali beekeepers. They were in such good shape. They were dying like flies from running so hard. The human being is not supposed to get out of bed at the crack of dawn or run anywhere with a watch on. You were not made for that. Unless you were pursued like in a pogrom, you were supposed to run at dawn. I mean, if the Polish murderers came after you with an axe, okay, then you ran at dawn. Otherwise, who would run at dawn? You guys get supposed to get up slowly in the morning. What on a country we live in. Everything is the extreme. First, we're the laziest people on earth who don't move. Now, we're the busiest people on earth who don't know what they're doing. Running, looking at a watch, abs. Every minute I'm laying on my back watching TV at night, and they make me feel guilty with a woman with abs on her. She looks like a snake. You see this ab machine they got now? She's twisting and she's turning. I know if I got it, I'd wind up in a paralysis ward. You ever see some of the machines? Who invents these crazy machines? And most people get them, they don't use them anyway. They spend $799 down and $700 over 12 years, with 13% going to the homeless and 4% going to another charity, and the machine winds up in the garage 3 days later. Who can use a thing like that? You need to be in a hospital with traction. She turns and she twists and the leg goes forward. And can't they just have sex to stay in shape? Or do eat less? What is this with the machine? The most beautiful people on earth, they're on a machine.
Savage.
Come in Formula 1, grazie alle innovatavio, selettore, posizionato, sul volante, è stata introdotta. Oh, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I was just perusing an owner's manual of a Ferrari. I realized that the captain of the Italian ship must have missed that practical portion of the exam on how to actually run a cruise ship. He probably attended all of the lessons on drinking at the bar, seducing women and sleeping with them, and how to jump into lifeboats at the first sign of of trouble. Oh, God, what a story this is going to be. You know, Italian cruise ship captain. They're going to go for the Albanian captains after this, Chinese captains, Korean captains, British captains. The best captains, by the way, are the Americans and the British. The British captains are trained in I might have to say that. I'm nothing against the British people. It's the British government that I have a problem with. They actually have a problem with me. The British people are wonderful people. I never had a problem with anyone from England. I never, every time I've gone there, I had a good time. They're polite, intelligent people. Like, I just placed a call earlier to a gallery in England. They don't even know who I am over a painting I'm looking. I like speaking to British people. They're so, they speak the language. They actually speak English. It reminds me, there are people who actually speak English. I don't have to translate every word. I hate locally when I call for something. They make me repeat myself. Here I am, a famous talk show, speaks to millions. Everyone understands me. You call here a restaurant order. They say, please repeat your name. Or tell me what you just ordered. These idiots, they get out of high school. They have a thing. It's the way to stumble you up to make you repeat yourself. This is a lifetime of this. Headline, michaelsavage.com. Obama tries to limit U.S. military power in space. When will he be impeached, please? A new space arms control initiative is drawing concern. You hear drawing concern? Instead of the military going to Congress and saying it's time to impeach him, we can't take it anymore. He's destroyed the military. If he's not stopped, there'll be nothing left. They're concerned in the military. You hear? New space arms control initiative draws concern that critics say will lead to restrictions on U.S. military activities in space, a key U.S. strategic warfighting advantage. Hillary Clinton, as you well know, is a great friend of America and our military, is the one who's leading the initiative to limit our ability to introduce military components into space at the same time that China and Russia are rushing along in this area. How much has to happen till you wake up that the country's been taken over by the enemies of freedom? When will America wake up? I don't know, which is why I don't want to do any of the show anymore in that way. I can't take it. Where are the Republicans? The smoker they got out on the pipeline? He came out, he got the tobacco off his lip. Mr. They got Speaker Boehner out. They gave him the pink tie, the new shirt. They gussied him up. They straightened him out. They threw some menthol on his face. They gave him pushing around a little bit. They told him to get the nicotine off the lip. And he gave a speech about the pipeline. That's it. That's the most that they can get out of him. I never saw anything like this. The last thing the United States needs is controls in space. The fact of the matter is, the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton have already failed in the Russian reset policy. And now we're, again, appeasing the Russians and the Chinese. What has to happen till you wake up? The answer is you can't do anything about it. If you had an opposition party that was meaningful, they would stand up to this degradation of the United States of America. But they won't. They just can't do it. The Democrats are the enemies of freedom. The Democrats are the enemies of the Constitution. The Democrats are the enemies of your personal liberty. What more can I say to you? What? There's nothing. I said it. That's why I'm joking around today. You know what I want to play for you right now, since you've been so kind as to listen all of this time, and there's no girls' basketball interfering with me, I think, in Florida today, and I don't think I'm preempted. I think I'm on six. I'd like to play a piece I did years ago because it's in keeping with the theme of the Italian a ship captain who leapt into the lifeboat before everyone was saved. And it's about anger management with John Scungilli. So let's listen.
This is Graham Hancock on special report from Michael Savage in Hollywood, California, visiting with John Scungilli, the reputed mastermind of the film industry. In a rare interview, Mr. Scungilli has agreed to talk to us about anger management and how he is attempting to get control over the out-of-control, insane liberals ruling Hollywood today. Mr. Scongeli, thank you very much for agreeing to do this interview.
What do you mean agreeing to an interview? Who the hell are you? I didn't agree to anything. What do you mean agree? Who is this guy? How'd he get in here?
Mr. Scongeli, I'm Graham Hancock. I'm on special assignment.
There's girls in here. Don't use such dirty words.
I'm sorry, sir, but the Savage Nation is interested to know how you are going to get control over the hippie pinko weirdos here in Hollywood, California.
Oh, that problem. Yeah, we got a big problem. It's killing the business. We had a good thing going here for 80, 70, 80 years. And these nuts, these potheads.
Really?
These perverts, they went nuts here. They ruined a good thing with this attacking the president, attacking the war. We don't know what to do with them.
Mr. Scongeli, we understand that you've initiated a anger management program to help them deal with some of these vitriolic attacks on our military and president. How do you make this anger management program work?
Anger management in my day, anger management came out the barrel of a gun. But those days are over. The only anger manager we had was a Smith & Wesson.
I'm shocked.
A 32. It was the best anger management tool ever invented.
Mr. Scongeli, you're saying that you use guns to control people?
Well, what do you think I'm saying, moron? Well, I gotta spell it out for you.
Well, what other tools did you use, Mr. Scongeli?
Other tools? Truncheons, fists, brass knuckles, meat hooks, car bumpers, whatever. Those days are over. We're talking a long time ago. Now everything's nice. Gotta be with the psychology. What we're using today is a special kind of anger management.
I see.
If they like boys, we give them boys in a motel room down in Palm Springs for 5 days in a row. They like girls, we put them in a motel room with the girl, 5 days.
Oh.
At the end of the 5 days, if their anger isn't subdued, not all. We don't know what to do.
So, Mr. Scongeli, how do you feel about someone like Susan Sarandon, who seems to have complete contempt for the military and our president? How does she still get to be in high-profile movies?
How? Because everyone there thinks the same way she does. Anyone thinks different doesn't work there. That's how. What do you mean how? It ain't hard to figure out. It's all controlled by whack job liberals.
Really?
What do you think, I like him? I don't like him any. You think I like the hookers that I got in my cat houses? I don't like him either. You work with who you have to work with. I'd do a deal with the devil if I had to.
So, Mr. Scongeli, what do you think of someone like Alec Baldwin saying that he was going to leave America if Bush was elected and then staying?
A phony through and through. He plays tough guys. Let me tell you something. He's a fraud. I think he's lighting the loafers, if you know what I mean.
I understand, Mr. Scongeli, that you know Goldie Hawn. Now, what is your take on her?
She had the best keister in the business when I first met her. In the 60s, she had a ass that could turn every head in the restaurant. Today, it's collapsed, so she became a big lefty. The lower the ass, the higher the liberal thing. I don't know where to relate. I don't understand it. What a she had. My own, you couldn't eat when you saw it.
And what about Richard Gere? I understand people are not too fond of him. What do you attribute that to?
One word. Furry creatures.
Now, Mr. Scongeli, what do you think about the actor Dustin Hoffman? I've heard you refer to him as Ratso Rizzo. What do you think about him?
What all these little Jews want to play a gangster for? What, they got a complex? Who they think they are? Bugsy Siegel, every one of them. Every one of them on the 5-5 wants to play a wise guy. What's with them?
How do you feel about the actor Richard Dreyfuss, eh?
Dreyfuss? I think his father ran a seltzer route in Brooklyn. And let me tell you something. The bottle don't fall far from the truck.
I understand that Woody Allen is over in France pandering to them. What do you think about that?
Woody Allen, I think the father ran a bagel store in Brooklyn. And let me tell you something. The bagel don't bounce far from the cart.
Yes, and finally, Mr. Scongeli, what do you think about the actor Tim Robbins, eh?
Tim Robbins, another one. His father owned a candy store in Brooklyn. And let me tell you something. The bar don't fall far from the rapper.
So, Mr. Scongeli, how do you personally control your anger towards all of these crazy people?
Hey, who gave you the right to ask me anything, you little schmuck? I ain't got no anger. Not anger with me. It's a nature. It's a nature.
I see.
Who the hell do you think you are, you rat bitch? You...
Shocking! So, Mr. Scongeli, in summary, if all of your anger management techniques don't work, what are you going to do?
Teach. That's what we're going to do. Send them to Harvard. They can all take a job teaching at Harvard or Berkeley. Let them go to hell, all of them.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My exclusive interview with John Scongeli from Hollywood, California.
I did that years ago. I think it's hilariously funny. Should win every award in the history of radio, but like anything else, The awards are all political, so as long as you enjoy it, it's good enough for me. That was hilariously funny, honest to God. It was funny. I mean, come on. Funny is funny. I remember making that up as we went along. The rapper doesn't fall far from the bar, or the bar doesn't fall far from the rapper. The bottle doesn't fall far from the truck. I made it up on the spot. I haven't done one of those Graham Hancocks with David for so long. We used to have a lot of fun. Ah, those were other days in radio. You know, other... La posizione è qui, il controllo di stabilità e trazione viene disattivato, la stabilità. I'm trying to read the manual that the captain should have read. I'll be right back. C'è comunique, non allano, la... La parte centrale della vettura non è ad assorbimento energetico, bensì a resistenza per evitare la intrusione della zona del abbaticalo. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I was reading the manual about rollover that the captain must have missed that day in class. And I see that Newt's gaining on Mitt and Marianne is gaining on Newt. That's right. Marianne Gingrich is gaining on Newt Gingrich. And she said she could end her husband's career with a single interview. But ABC is pretending that they have ethics now. Yeah, that's not an oxymoron. Always a Bolshevik crap. ABC, right. Ethics they're worried about. Yeah. She could end her husband. You see how she looks like him? She looks like a Supreme Court justice in the picture they released. Newt's ex-wife unloads on camera. Network debates ethics. Yeah, all right. Marion Gingman says she could end her ex-husband's career with a single interview. Oh, hell hath no fury like a woman spurned. I mean, if you were her and Newt left you for the girlfriend, right, what would you be doing right now? Of course she could end this career with one interview, but what would we learn from the interview from Marion Gingrich that we want to know? Well, what would you learn? What could she say that you haven't already found out about Newt Gingrich? What could she say that his face itself doesn't tell you? What could she say about his indulgences that his waistline does not tell you already? You know, ABC debates ethics of airing before primary. It's a tempest in a teapot. Marianne Gingrich has said she could end her... Of course they're going to run it. They're just building it up. They'll wait for right before the debate to run it. Oh, he's back. Empty glasses is back. Every time I turn, I got to take a look at his picture now. Now he's smiling. They told him to give a night. They went through like a program on... Hemorrhoid now is running his own TV show and no one will ever watch. They got a pair of clear glasses. It's like we're going into a lens crafters and they make you try on glasses. That's what his glasses looked like to me. I told him, always smile because you scared people. You scared women and children in particular. So when you come back with your own TV network, make certain you smile and look nice. I hear they have 25 subscribers so far. It's a really big one there. Ethics. You care about Marianne Gingrich? And what she has to say about Newt. I mean, he's already besmirched. He ruined his own reputation. What could she possibly know that you don't know what? He slept with fill in the blank? What else could she say? She could end her ex-husband's career with a single interview. Earlier this week, she sat before always Bolshevik crap news cameras and told the Drudge Report. She spoke to ABC News reporter Brian Ross for 2 hours, and her explosive revelations are set to rock the trail. Oh, please, rock the trail. The day they have something to rock the trail about Obama is the day I'll ever believe in ABC News. It's another hit piece on any Republican who shows any capacity to do anything against the communist-in-chief, CIC. Webb protest gets results as support for two bills slips. A senator and two congressmen publicly withdraw support for anti-piracy bills they co-sponsors as Wikipedia and other sites black out their pages. Backlash is hurting Obama severely amongst the Hollywood slime, who gave him only $60 million so far. Porn firms consider leaving L.A. after condom vote. Did you hear this story in the porn belt? Did you hear what's going on in the porn belt, all you nice people? There was a vote in Los Angeles. A city council vote mandated condoms be filmed, used on film shoots, requiring a permit. The day they put a condom on the camera lens is the day I'll believe they're serious, but that's not good enough for the pornos. They say they're going to leave the city and make money somewhere else, said Stephen Hirsch, founder of the adult film company Vivid Entertainment. A curse upon humanity. A curse upon humanity. That's what his ancestors were freed from bondage for, so he could make porno film in Hollywood and have gelled hair. Steve Hirsch said the industry isn't going anywhere in terms of shooting movies, but if we need to move out of the city or state, those jobs will go along with it because they don't want to use condoms. They said porn films featuring condoms don't sell as well because people who watch adult films, quote, are interested in the fantasy aspect of it, so I think they'd rather watch films without condoms, said the dirtbag Hirsch. The dirty, filthbag, filthy-minded degenerate who should have been... So that's the thing. The condom police now are going to be released upon the porn industry. They had an AIDS outbreak. That's not good enough for the geniuses. That's not good enough for them. It's unbelievable to me that they would reject a thing like this, a common sense thing like this. But then again, would you expect people in the porn business to have common sense? Porn firms consider leaving L.A. after condom vote. That to me is as interesting as Marianne Gingrich unleashing on Newt Gingrich. I mean, what's she going to say? Governor Brown backs bullet train in state of state speech. Of course, bullet train. Why would he back a bullet train? Who would want a bullet train with any except someone who's a contractor for the bullet train? The bullet train to nowhere. Who's ever going to use a bullet train? Well, if they ran it to the Mexican border, I could see big use for it. I mean, get the illegal aliens right into L.A. and San Francisco as fast as possible. Yes, then I could see a big use for the bullet train. In fact, Brown could give them passes to get on the bullet train in Tijuana to take them right to a city where there'll be a housing and a legal and medical waiting for them. In that sense, yes, I could see why Brown backs a bullet train in a state-of-state speech. In order to bring his constituency in from Mexico, he would need a bullet train. L.A. school whets appetite for healthy food. The kids don't want it. Two Sun Tzu fight involves L.A. I read the L.A. Times, but it's terrible. Terrible newspaper. You'd think they're going bankrupt, that they would change it slightly. Not a hope. Not a hope. They won't change a thing. Florida, Stefano, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, hi, Michael. Well, I wanted to talk about the Italian ship being born and raised in Italy and moved to Florida about 50 years.
I'd like to hear it. Come on. You know I'm not bashing Italians. I love the Italian people, but this captain's in a class by himself.
Well, yes, he is, but, you know, I'm not here to defend him. I'm just, I don't even think about it. If it were up to me, he would be, you know, dispatched tomorrow morning, but...
So you yourself are an Italian ship captain?
No, I am not. I'm not. No, okay. What I'm saying is I've heard and I've read that when the ship started tilting a little bit too much, people started panicking, and there were fist fights between, you know, between passengers and who were trying to get on the boats and get their families on the boats. So my thought is, it is entirely possible that that captain, as cowardly as he can be, he probably went there, he saw that it was just a madhouse, and he said, I'm out of here. I'm not going to go up to those guys and tell them what to do. They're going to kill me before I say two words.
All right, well, so that is a justification. Nevertheless, he did have the option of going to another point on the ship and directing some of it, let's say from a high point. If you remember the Titanic, even the band played on at the end as the ship was sinking, the brave musicians went to the stern of the boat and were playing. It's a heartbreaking scene, you know. I mean, the captain of the Titanic went down with the ship. That's when men had honor, you know. Il telaio della 430 Spider sfrutta appieno la tecnologia dell'alluminio. That has nothing to do with the ship. I'm just joking. I'm looking at pictures of yellow F-430s. I actually like the F-430 better than the Italia, incidentally. Italia has a gorgeous Enzo look to the rear. I mean, it's a gorgeous rear to the Ferrari Italia. There's no question about it. But the F-430 is an amazing car. I think it's going to be a bigger classic than people would imagine. All right, but every few years they have to come up with a new model and say the last one was no good. In the case of the 430, it was far superior to the 360, incidentally. And I must tell you, I had a 360, now I have a 430. It's not that I couldn't buy I shouldn't say it to you in a time like this. I don't want the Italia. I like the F430. It's a nicer car. Why do I need to buy the newest model? I keep it around a longer timer. Paul Newman, I think Paul Newman drove the same Jaguar for 40 years. What do you have to buy a new model for? He drove an XK140 or 150. Hey, dog, Teddy, I gave him the French fries. The room can use a fan in it. Come on, Teddy. Good God, these dogs can drive you crazy. Come on. You know, there's stuffy down in here. Teddy, have a heart. I mean, you're 10 pounds. My God.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Back on the ship and tell me how many people there are and what they have on board. Clear? Tell me if there are children, women, and what kind of help they need. And you tell me the number of each of these categories. Is that clear? Look, Scatino, perhaps you have saved yourself from the sea, but I will make you look very bad. I will make you pay for this. Damn it!
Captain, please.
There is no please about it. Go back on board. Assure me you are going back on board.
I am in the lifeboat, under the ship. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm here.
What are you doing?
I am coordinating.
What are you coordinating there? Get on board the ship and coordinate the rescue on board. Are you refusing?
No. No, I'm not refusing.
Get going. There are already corpses, Scatino. Move!
How many dead are there?
I don't know. One I've heard of. You need to be telling me this.
Well, Obama has done it again. He has canceled the permit to build the Keystone XL oil pipeline. It's beyond belief that this man does not get impeached. It is a president who's selling out American jobs for politics. This is a man who is a liar through and through. This is beyond comprehension. What else is in the news? Well, an actor says he's said he could have stopped 9/11 himself. He apparently claims he could have stopped the Flight 93 from going down if he was in a movie, I suppose. Unbelievable. What else is in the news? Let's go to michaelsavage.com. I guess you've heard all of the news, so... Top right, captain of the Italian cruise ship says he tripped and fell into the lifeboat. He didn't actually go in it to get away before the women and children. He fell into it. Pasta, pasta, pasta. Hillary Clinton and Obama are trying to limit U.S. military power in space, again weakening America. Beyond comprehension how we're letting this anti-American cabal destroy this country's ability to defend itself, but I give up. Where's the alternative party? The distribution of income in the United States is the same as a quarter of a century ago, despite what the hater has said. The Iranian Hitler, one of his mullahs, says that Obama proposed talks with them. Democrats on trial for ballot fraud in Albany. Huh. Unbelievable. Islamist stops university debate with threats of violence. That was a talk on Sharia law. That's the country we're living in. Defend the murderers and the throwbacks. Attack the Marines. Savage rips cowardly condemnation of Marines. It's up on michaelsavage.com. U.S. elections results now owned by a foreign firm, but you don't care about that. What do you care? United Kingdom says it cannot send an extremist cleric home to Jordan. They need to keep the throwback there. Egypt's next parliament to be led by an Islamist. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. Thank you, Jimmy Carter. Thank you, President Obama. Iranian activist shot dead in Texas. You hear this one? Nah, didn't make it to the news. She was trying to bring democracy to Iran, and she was shot dead in her car in Texas. Iranian molecular scientist, age 30, shot dead in car outside her Texas home while talking on cell phone to her ex-boyfriend. Can you believe this? The murder of an Iranian molecular scientist. She lobbied on behalf of Iranian women's civil rights, was killed by a single bullet. Her car then rolled into a garage door yard to her parents' home in Houston, Texas. Really? In the United States of America? Executions in the U.S.? Impossible. After all, we're protected by Homeland Security, aren't we? Didn't the Homeland Security do their job in this case? Nah, you know that they did. They protected her. That's why she's dead. Targeted and killed by an Iranian assassin in our country. Department of Homeland Security is frisking your grandmother in a wheelchair. I guess you're more interested in who fell down on Sunset Boulevard and whose skirt flew up. You won't find that today on michaelsavage.com. It's a very somber time living in a dictatorship, which is why I wrote Abuse of Power. Abuse of Power, it was tied directly into Obama. the anti-American, anti-constitutionalist company, the Obamaites. Let's go back to the Islamists who stopped the university debate with threats of violence. Now, where did this happen? Oh, it's in England. That's where it stopped. I see. A talk on Sharia and human rights at Queen Mary University of London was canceled because of an Islamist who made serious threats against everyone there. Ah, the man. The man. Isn't that interesting? Interesting to me that it happened in England because it used to be the land of the free. It's now the home of the coward. All this and more on MichaelSavage.com.
As a very religious man yourself, a lot of them say, look, we're very religious people. It's all in the Bible. What do you feel?
I feel that they're going to extremes just to try to get votes. And I don't think Rick Perry's been that extreme as a governor, but he's trying to be more extreme in order to appeal to the right wing of the Republican Party.
Is that a mistake?
I think it's a mistake.
Politically for them.
And it's proven to be a mistake for Rick Perry. He's gone downhill when everybody thought he had the best chance when he first got in. And now Gingrich in the South Carolina debate, I watched part of it, I watched the first half of it. I think he has that subtlety of racism that I know quite well and that Gingrich knows quite well that appeals to some people in Georgia, particularly the right wing.
You think he's doing it deliberately?
Oh, I think so. He knows as well the words that you use, like welfare mamas and so forth, that that have been appealing in the past in those days when we cherished segregation of the races. So he's appealing for that in South Carolina. I don't think it'll pay off in the long run.
Wow, you know how much that irritates me. Well, imagine how your throat will get this winter without Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops. That's right. I'm talking about Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops we all grew up with. They're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors. Pine Brothers has been a trusted brand since 1870. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothersyum.com.
Savage.
American people are now occupying Wall Street. They're expressing frustration. They're expressing fear of the joblessness. Do you support them?
Well, I support the message to the establishment, whether it's Wall Street or the political establishment and the rest, that change has to happen. We cannot continue in a way that is not relevant to their lives. People are angry.
As opposed to the Tea Party, which was practically a wholly owned subsidiary of the Republican Party, we don't really have much of a connection with the Occupy. In fact, they probably have some sentiments that overlap between the two. Return
to me. Somebody wants to know about my dog, so I'm going to take a dog call. Jason in Albany, New York, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Savage, an honor to talk to you. I have no idea how you do what you do every day, but I wanted to kick it down a notch, and we want to know about Teddy because you haven't talked to him about him in a while.
What can I say about my poodle? He sleeps at my feet and loves red meat. I just gave you a haiku. He sleeps at my feet and loves red meat. There's nothing more I can say. He's the most loyal friend I have ever had, and I've had dogs since I'm a little boy. I have never encountered a breed like this. The dog is as close to a simian as a canine can be. He disarticulates his rear legs and stands on his rear feet. All you got to do is bring out provolone cheese. He may have some Italian in him, because if I bring out provolone cheese, the dog walks on his rear legs and dances around the kitchen like a trained bear for that little piece of cheese. It's astounding to watch. He can walk on his... I don't know, a lot of dogs can do it, I guess. He moans at night in bed like a baby. Sometimes he has a little convulsion. Did you know that little dogs sometimes have a slight nervous thing where they start to go... But you know that you can soothe them just like a person if you just hold them for a moment?
brings you back to reality. And what do you do? Do you do anything special nutritionally other than feeding him back?
I tell you exactly what I feed my dog. He's 7 years old, and I'm a little, you know, I'm sad already. I didn't realize time flew like this. I heard that a dog at 9 is considered a senior pet. So I've been talking to him now, like, differently. I start to say, you're soon going to be my senior pet. And I treat him a little differently now because he's almost a senior. And I look at him already. I look at the other one in the box with the ashes, the Snowy that I had for 13 years. She was amazing. I never talk about it because I wasn't on radio then, actually. I don't think. Well, I was. Snowy was a Sheltie, a small collie. Oh, did I love her. But, you know, in the blink of an eye, she went from the children being young and jumping over, like, little barriers in a park, like Lassie, with me saying, Snowy, Snowy. And there she'd run in this beautiful meadow and jump over a log to dying on a grass lawn with no light in her eye, shriveled up like a person. I mean, what are you going to do? It's the way of all flesh. And I think that's why we love our animals, because the process is speeded up with them, and we see our own self in them, right or wrong?
I totally agree with you 100%, and it's amazing that.
But this is the delicate, precious thing about life itself. I hate to get maudlin, but the fact is that we all, in every breath we take, recognize that this is a very short dance in the sun. Any adult comes to understand that at a certain point, that you're not Lindsay Lohan who thinks you could just get stoned for the rest of your life. It's a short dance in the sun. You know, take a deep breath because we're all on the same ship called the Earth at the same time, and no one's going to get out of this alive. And at some point, you have to say, you know, all of these people, different races, different languages, different this, different that, they all have exactly the same fears, the exact same lifespan or shelf life one way or the other within the norm as I do. And maybe at that point you come to realize that you don't have to kill your brother to live on this planet. I don't know what it is, but animals certainly make us a better person. I know that.
God bless you. I absolutely agree 100%.
That's why I gave you my little San Francisco haiku about Teddy, which I'll repeat. He sleeps at my feet and loves red meat. I think I'm one of the few Renaissance men left in America. Because when I grew up, that was considered so cool. I don't even like the word cool. I never used the word cool. I hate it from the day it originated. I was in the hip age where you used the word hip. And if you didn't say hip, you weren't hip, right? He's hip. But then that became, right, not cool. So the next thing comes along, other words like cool. But I didn't like it because it was being used in you know what I'm saying? But you do know what I'm saying. But you don't have to use the word like hip or cool to understand when something is there. Either it's there or it's not there. But when I was young, when I was coming up, a Renaissance man was considered the thing to be. It was the mark of a diverse individual in the true sense of diversity of spirit, diversity of mind. Whoever even talks about the word Renaissance man anymore? You say Renaissance man, you think of some freak who wears like velvet costumes at a Shakespearean play. We don't mean that when we say Renaissance man. But the vernacular of America has been so warped as a result of the limits of education and rap music, I guess television as well, that people don't even know what you mean in half the phrases I use, and I'm not the most big word user on the planet. In fact, I seek to avoid big words. Trust me, I can use them when I need to. I can use Latin words if I needed to, but I don't, because I don't need to show off how smart I am with big words. There's a guy in radio, an old guy. He has no education. I don't hold that against him because I know a lot of bright people who never went to college. This guy never went to college, so he's defensive about it. So what does he do as a talk show host? He uses very big words as often as possible to show how literate he is. But it doesn't work. You got to speak the common parlance of the average man, you know, the street language, because you can get great ideas across with a very basic vocabulary. Am I right or wrong? I think so. I need to throw in, you know, PhD words to make you understand that I know them. There's no need for them. I mean, what do you need them for? They're used when they, by the way, you know, it's interesting. Language is very interesting, incidentally. I could get into a little discussion of language right now because it's an interesting topic. What is language? We all use it. Don't we all use language? Everyone out there uses language from the lowest to the highest, from people with a 200-word vocabulary to people with a 40,000-word vocabulary. In all of the languages on the earth, everyone is using a language. A dog barks, that's his language. A bird chirps, that's her language, correct? A pachyderm, whatever it does, is using pachyderm language. They're all communicating. So we're basically we're talking about communication. Now, this is an intriguing concept because there once was a phrase that said to the Hebrew, the word is the deed. I don't know who wrote that. In fact, if anyone out there is super literate, can you look up that phrase? There must be a book on this. I had an old friend who once wrote that to me because he was a printer and a print fanatic. And he was a Jewish guy, and he said, to the Hebrew, the word is the deed. Okay? The word is the deed. Now, look how far we have come from that phrase of to the Hebrew, the word is the deed, to the age of Obama, where no words have any meaning whatsoever. It's all, the word I'm seeking is quite interesting. Aristotle had a whole school of, in Greece, there were whole schools of people who were taught how to speak eloquently and say nothing. So they were the predecessors of today's political class. Young men from aristocratic families in ancient Greece were sent to schools where they were taught to be sophists. And you've heard the phrase sophistry, right? Obama is the epitome of sophistry. And that's putting it in a classy way. In other words, he's all style and no substance whatsoever. Okay, so there's a word. So now let's do something together for having fun together, okay? I have a book in my hand called The Concise Etymological Dictionary of the English Language by Skeet. I love this book, right? But no one even knows about it. It's one of my prized possessions. Why? Because if you look up a word, it shows you where it originates from. And I say, well, who cares about that? Well, I kind of want to know where it came from, so here it is. You ready for this? Sophist. It has a complete different reason, meaning than I just told you. Sophist, a captious reasoner. Not a cautious reasoner, a captious reasoner, okay, is what it means. Then they show the Latin and the Greek. A skillful man, also a sophist, teacher of arts for money. Interesting. To instruct. Sophistry. But that's related to the word sophisticate or sophisticated, right?
Savage.
President Barack Hussein Obama has decided to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline that would have brought billions of barrels of oil, hundreds of millions of barrels at least, from Canada to the United States. It would have created tens of thousands of jobs. It would have reduced our dependence on the Middle East. Unbelievable. How, to me, the reason he did it is because he's owned by the solar industry. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation is Patrick J. Michaels, a senior fellow for environmental studies at the Cato Institute. Patrick Michaels, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
Well, are you as astonished as I am to Obama blocking the Keystone XL pipeline?
I'm wondering if Mr. Obama doesn't want to be reelected. It sure seems like it. This is unpopular on all sides of the aisle to block this thing. And the excuse that they can reapply if they bypass the Nebraska Sandhills is really, really suspicious. Here's why. If you go to the Sandhills, which have apparently a pretty delicate surface, what you're going to see there are gigantic windmills everywhere. And the windmills have to be serviced by all-terrain vehicles and four-wheel drive vehicles. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If it's good enough for his green windmills, it's good enough for the Canada pipeline.
Why do you think Hillary Clinton did this? And why do you think that they are doing this?
Well, the pipeline brings oil from the tar sands of Alaska down to refineries along the Gulf Coast of Mexico, increasing the global supply. We also have an enormous amount of natural gas in the form of shale rock that can be hydraulically fractured across the country. And I can tell you that one of the most politically unwise things that can ever be done is to come out against exploiting that resource. I sure hope they're not going to do that after they said the pipeline has to be rerouted because of the delicate nature of the sand hills. I don't know whose vote the president's trying to court here. Is it the Sandhill Crane, perhaps? You know, the problem with the sand hills is that they're thought to be quite delicate. And over in the Sandhills, if you go there, you will see these gigantic windmills that are spaced fairly close together. They have to be serviced by all-terrain vehicles or four-wheel drive vehicles. If the Sandhills can have windmills, they can have a pipeline. Now we can talk about this whole issue of energy supply, which I think is a rather large issue in this country. First of all, the pipeline brings oil from the tar sand area in Alberta down to the Gulf Coast to be refined, thereby increasing the global supply, which is a good thing. Secondly, we have a tremendous amount of natural gas underneath the surface of this country, captured or in shale formations that can be hydraulically fractured. Anybody who comes out against that and against the pipeline, I think, is really committing a serious political mistake. I am hoping that the president does not start to make rumblings against shale oil. I think it would be just very, very unwise. The bottom line on all this, though, is that we're seeing a revolution in the energy systems of the world. People are realizing that solar energy and windmills are very expensive. Governments are running out of money. They can't afford to pay the subsidies for these things. And we've got this tremendous supply of hundreds of years of natural gas. Now, anybody who comes out against natural gas in this case is likely doing so because they want to protect solar energy and windmills, two of the most wasteful forms in terms of cost of producing energy that there are on the planet.
Why is the Republican Congress doing nothing about this? We don't live in a dictatorship.
Congress can't really do very much at all because the president has veto power. And it's going to be that way, for quite some time, as long as he's there. Even if the Senate changed hands, if the president wants to make a stand on certain environmental issues, he's going to be able to do it.
Well, would this have had any effect on the environment in reality?
Well, if we take a look at the Alaska pipeline, the one from the North Slope to Valdez, the general effect on the environment was that it increased the density of wildlife herds, didn't cause very much large-scale problems, and employed a bunch of people in its maintenance and care. Aside from that, it's a bad idea.
You know how important it is to reduce our dependence on Middle Eastern oil, so doesn't the president know this?
Well, anybody would like to have a large supply of oil, that's for sure. And yes, the Middle East is certainly not the stablest place in the world, and prices do very strange things when there's tension over there. Exploiting oil from Canada in the tar sands, which is profitable now, simply increases the supply, which is very good, and makes the Middle East a relatively unimportant supplier. By the way, here in the United States, you know, of course we're not, quote, independent, and we never will be. But Canada is our biggest supplier of oil. And getting more and more oil from Canada is just not a bad thing.
Well, anyway, Patrick Michaels, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation. You got to laugh at some mild infirmities. You know, a guy gets in a fight when he's a kid, he gets a tooth knocked out. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. It's a tooth. That's all. That's all. It's only a tooth. It's nothing. It could have been worse. Because I remember when I was a kid, like 18, 15, you know, I never thought I'd live past 40. I really didn't. Come from a family of horrendous male longevity. I don't blame them. It was just the way it is. So my friends and I used to joke. We used to joke when we were kids. We'd look at older men, guys over 30, some of whom were bald. And I remember saying to my friend, and I said, you know what? I'm not worried about baldness because I'll probably never live that long. And we used to joke about it. I swear, young guys are funny. We always had a fatalistic view of things. But as time, and there was another story I'll tell you from that era. I remember I told you I had a friend whose father was the tough guy in the whole, like, thing in the ghetto. All the other guys had little stores or little jobs. This guy owned a bar on the Upper East Side of Manhattan before it was cool. He was a professional bar owner wearing a suit, not a bartender, a gambler. He was a real, you know, let's say, cool type of guy. But he was a man's man. So naturally, the boys would gravitate to the toughest of the men because boys will. Boys will always be drawn to the tough guy. I didn't say nasty, I didn't say evil, but the toughest man is usually the tribal leader anyway. So guys liked him. He had a manly way about him. He talked quietly, never spoke loud, hardly spoke at all. And sometimes when the families would get together in those days, all the families got very often got together on weekends in someone's apartment or house, he would sit down and the guys would listen to him. And remember he said to us, he would say things, he would say, you know, he says, you know, when you hit this certain age, like at 50, and your teeth start to fall out, and your eyes are, you know, not as good as they were. He says, I don't want to live past 50. I hear the guy's 95 now living in Florida. Because the truth is that as you get older, no one wants to die. You keep moving the goalposts. That's the absolute reality.
Savage.
Captain, please.
There is no please about it. Go back on board. Assure me you are going back on board.
I am in the lifeboat, under the ship. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm here.
What are you doing?
I am coordinating.
What are you coordinating there? Get on board the ship and coordinate the rescue on board. Are you refusing?
No. No, I'm not refusing.
Get going. There are already corpses, Scatino. Move!
How many dead are there?
I don't know. One I've heard of. You need to be telling me this.
Okay, Florida.
Savage.